Sadly, this morning we all woke up to the horrific news that happened last night, late last night into this early morning, and that was a shooting in California, another one. This time a guy walked into a bar, it was Country Western night, near a college campus, a lot of young people, open fire. We have 12 people dead. ABC's Alex Stone is with us from California with the latest. What's going on out there, Alex?
Yeah, you know, nothing ever happens here in Thousand Oaks. And this is a place that is very well to do. It's expensive to live here. There are a lot of colleges around here. We're close to Malibu. This is not a place where a lot of crime happens. It looks like what you would think of mainly Southern California, but Central and Southern California, Spanish buildings. You get off of the 101 freeway, there are little strip malls, there's a Starbucks coffee here, gas stations on the corner, and then there is the nightclub. And it is in that nightclub where this all unfolded last night. And the big question right now is motive. We know that the shooter was 28-year-old Ian David Long, that police had some interaction with him before, mainly minor stuff, and then earlier this year he had a mental health situation where they were called, but they didn't have enough to hold him on what's called a 5150, a mental health hold in California. But it looked like he was having PTSD problems from his time in the Marines. But they don't know if that played any role in this. No indication of terrorism. The Joint Terrorism Task Force is here. The FBI is here. From the very beginning, they've been looking for some indication that if they had to go down that road, it's not going down that road. But why he carried this out, walking in and opening fire inside this bar and grill on a night when there was country line dancing going on and discounted drinks for college kids, they don't know yet. They're working on that right now. They're executing search warrants at his home.
Can you talk a little bit more about how this went down and the latest numbers on the number that were killed?
Yeah, the total number dead is at 13. That includes the gunman, and it includes the real hero here on scene, Sergeant Ron Helis. He is was a 29-year veteran of the Ventura County Sheriff's Department. He was on the phone with his wife last night at around 11:30 Pacific time. He said, "Honey, I got to go. I've got a call." He hung up. He went what's called Code 3 here in California. That's lights and sirens to the scene. He got a call of potentially shots fired inside the bar and grill. He did what law enforcement is trained to do. Now, after 1999 at Columbine, they no longer are to wait for backup, to wait for the SWAT team, to wait to have armor. You go in. It doesn't matter what lack of armor you have, what lack of weaponry you have, that you get on scene and then you go running in. He did exactly that, and he paid with his life. He made the ultimate sacrifice. He was going to retire next year. He took on the gunman, may have stopped more bloodshed by shooting at the gunman. Then there was another hero. That was a California Highway Patrol officer who arrived on scene, seeing Sergeant Helis laying there. He went in, he or she, we don't know who the officer was, into the gunfire being fired in that direction and dragged Sergeant Helis out of the line of fire, trying to save his life. Unfortunately, it was too late. But these officers, they arrived on scene, and they engaged that gunman.
Talking with ABC's Alex Stone here on 98.1 KMBZ, joining us from California in Thousand Oaks, where there was a shooting at a nightclub last night, basically right near a college campus. You mentioned there was some gunfire going on. Do we know if the gunman took his own life? Was the bullet from a police officer? Have we established that yet?
You know, initially that was a question that nobody was able to answer, and police said they didn't know, and in the urgent moments during the shooting, they didn't really care. The threat was over, and then they would investigate after the fact. They have now determined, they believe at least, based on what they see on scene, that he killed himself, that it was not a police bullet, that he committed suicide. He had a .45 caliber Glock on him. This was a handgun. This was not an AR. It was not a long gun of any kind. It was a handgun that he was able to carry all this out. He had what's illegal in California, but an extended magazine that would give him more than the normal amount of bullets. They don't know how full it was, so they don't know exactly how many he fired off, but they do believe that he killed himself with that Glock.
And my understanding is that the gun was legally obtained?
Yeah, he legally bought the gun in this area. How long ago isn't exactly clear at this point, but he legally bought the gun, and there was no question with that. And again, why he chose this grill and bar, totally a mystery right now. And we have to hope at some point we're going to find out, and that this won't be like Las Vegas last year where we still don't know why Stephen Paddock carried that out. But at this early point, there is no indication of why he chose this location.
Alex, you may not know yet because the information might not be out yet, but any information about the 12 people that died other than the sergeant, of course?
No, there'd be 11 others, and then the gunman makes 13 and with the sergeant. But with the 11 others, no. In fact, family members are desperately trying to find out right now. They have been showing up here all day on the scene, even though there's a family reunification center, just asking for some information. But the coroner has to ID everybody. It's going to take some time. The sheriff is telling them they can call a phone number because he desperately wants them to get that answer. You can imagine that we're now 8 hours into this. This is still a very raw scene. This didn't happen that long ago, but there are family members who have been calling their loved ones. They've been texting them, and nobody's been answering. And it's becoming more and more likely that if they're not getting an answer, that they may be one of the victims inside. You know, these scenes, and we don't know about this one, but these scenes, always very eerie. Police tell us that as you walk around in the hours after, they can't touch the bodies, but the phones will be going off, will be ringing. You'll hear texts coming in on all of the bodies still in there. And you know that's family members saying, honey, where are you? Are you okay? And nobody can answer back. But it's right now, those family members, they just want that answer.
You know, Alex, it is an eerie scene you're painting. It does remind you of the Vegas shooting that you mentioned in Stephen Paddock about a year ago. I did read some details, or at least a few people that were in this bar were at the Vegas shooting as well. Have you had a chance to connect with any of those people and what their thinking is now? Because now they've been the scene of two horrific accidents in just over a year.
Yeah, we haven't had a chance to talk to them. I've heard the stories that they were at both locations. And you can imagine, you're at a country concert last year. You're shot at. You barely survive. You come to a country line dancing event here at this bar, and a gunman walks in. Just what they must go through. There were off-duty police officers in the crowd who shielded the victims. There were civilians who helped get people who were hurt and people who, you know, froze into hiding places. They went into a back room. They went in to bathrooms, into the attic. They overturned tables trying to create barriers. They did everything they could to survive. And whoever could run out, they ran out. That's where most of the injuries came from now. Those who were shot, most of them died. But there are about 20 who were injured, and many of those were broken bones and sprains, people trying to get out.
Alex, last one for you. I'm reading that there was a smoke device. Did he go in to try to create a diversion and more insanity, more chaos in there while smoke was going off?
Yeah, the belief is that he was throwing smoke bombs when he went in. We know he, according to the sheriff, he went in, he turned left and shot security guards and employees, turned right, rather, and shot security guards and employees right when he walked in. He took them out, and then he turned left and started shooting into the dance hall area where the event was going on. People were being served drinks. There was country line dancing underway, and that's when he began firing on those victims, and they began to be hit.
And he's a local, correct? He didn't know the layout of the bar to know where the police or the security guards were to open or turn one way and go the other way. I assume that means he lives around there in Thousand Oaks?
Generally, he lives in the general area. Okay. I don't know if he's ever been to this bar. Police don't know yet. No doubt they will be looking at probably hundreds of hours of surveillance video and talking to people if they ever recognize this guy. But there's a very good chance that he may have done some reconnaissance. Who knows? But he did seem to know turn right, turn left, and it wouldn't be totally unimaginable if he had done some kind of reconnaissance.
Follow him on Twitter at A Stone ABC News. Alex, thank you so much. We'll talk with you. Be safe.
You got it. Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Alex Stone from ABC News. The news out of California is just it's tragic. And we'll have more updates for you as we continue on. I received a letter from a listener yesterday about what's going on at his kid's school. Want to ask you about this? I put it up on Facebook and I put it up on Twitter. If you want to read it and give us your reaction. Want to see if this same rule applies at your kid's school? We'll do that next. On my Facebook page, and I got a little letter here, Jamie, from one of our listeners. He said, I'd like to get your thoughts about this and see what your listeners would think about this. And I said, okay, great. And it's from over a listener's name, Richard. He writes, hey, Mike, I'm a loyal listener, although I don't always agree with you. That's fine. But there's something that you can bounce off Jamie, being she's a teacher. And maybe she can talk about it as well, and your listeners, during your show. And I said, all right, send it over, whatever this is. He is a father of an elementary school student at Cordy Elementary in Independence. And they sent out a letter to parents. And I'm just going to read you from the Independence School District. Dear Cordy parents, guidelines for cold weather during recess, lunch, and class recess. The district has established the following guidelines for recess during cold months. This is based on wind chill. 6 degrees Fahrenheit and above may have full outside recess. 5 degrees Fahrenheit to negative 14 may have a shortened recess. And 15 below and colder must have indoor recess. Please be prepared for winter weather for your children for pickup or drop-off. Children should be wearing coats, hats, and gloves every day as the weather can change so quickly. In an effort to keep our coyotes safe and warm, students are expected to have a line jacket or winter coat for outdoor activities during cold temperatures. Hoodies and sweaters are not quite warm enough for our Missouri winters. We go outside most days. If you have a need for winter wear, please call Tony Caldillo at the school. For students to stay inside during recess, a doctor's note would be required. This was sent out November of this year, so it was sent out this year. That from the Independence School District.
Okay, so recap again. At what point do they go outside or not go outside?
6 degrees and above may have full outside recess.
Okay.
5 degrees to 14 below may have a shortened recess. 15 degrees below and colder must have indoor recess. That's with wind chill.
Again, let's be careful because they're saying may have recess doesn't mean will have recess.
Right.
It means the possibility exists that as long as it is not below this temperature, we will have kids going outside. In other words, make sure your kids are dressed well enough because it's pot. Now, it doesn't mean they will. I mean, they could decide it's 25 out and they could decide, no, we're not having recess today because the weather's not good enough for it. But may have at that point.
I don't know. I mean, you actually would think about letting the kids go outside, letting Elke, his daughter, again, this is from an elementary school. 6 degrees, you're still going to let them go outside? I mean, I understand that if I'm going to go to a Chiefs game and the wind chill is going to be 7, I'm an adult. I know how to handle that a lot better than, say, an 11-year-old or a 10-year-old or a 7-year-old. So my question is, what is the limit at your kid's school? Like, I don't, because when I grew up, elementary school, middle school, when you had recess, I was in San Diego. So I don't know what it was like growing up in the Midwest when you had recess. 576-7798.
Yeah, give us a call and tell us what you're aware of with the policy where your kids go to school, because we're getting some different texts coming in all over the board. And recess is not that long. You know, let's say 15 minutes on average. I would have a bigger problem. I wish they were factoring in wind chill because I would.
They are.
Right. You know, that's. But if it feels. Wind makes a big difference. And so if it feels like it's, you know, 100 below zero, you can't stay outside for that long. But if the wind's not that bad, then it's interesting. I mean, kids need to work out energy. Mm-hmm. You know, if you keep them cooped up all, you know, and if it's cold out, they're more likely to run around, which is going to get them, you know, more energy. I would worry about the kids that don't have the resources to bundle up to the point that you would need to be outside for that amount of time. On the other hand, aren't kids waiting outside for the bus?
That's a good point.
For 10 minutes in the morning, if not more, waiting for the bus. And so aren't they, you know, parents are having to bundle them up for that anyway? And this isn't that much longer than waiting outside for the bus.
So if your kids go to school, is there a limit? Are there rules for temperature-wise when they don't let them go outside? Is it too cold? For this place, if it's 6 degrees, sounds like they're going outside. If it's 11 degrees out, get your ass out there, Timmy. It's 5 degrees is the cutoff down to 14 below, and they have whatever a shortened recess would be. And then if the wind chill is 15 below or colder, then they're keeping them indoors.
And the doctor's note that you mentioned, I assume, is like for kids with asthma and things like that, that are going to have a harder time breathing when they're outside. Because some kids with asthma can't handle those cold temperatures like that.
I don't know the answer, and that's why I have really no dog in this fight, but I'm fascinated to learn the answer to this.
Well, let us know what the school's policies are.
576-7798. We'll get to everybody on hold. Text in 22980. Is your school like Cordy Elementary in Independence? What are the thresholds? When do they keep them indoors? What do they keep them outdoors in the wintertime? 576-7798. Your call's next. It is snowing outside. Barely here in Mission. Other places are reporting maybe a little bit stronger. A slight dusting. I'm seeing a flurry or two out there. Now is the perfect time to remind you that this weather, it is going to get cold. And we would love for you to think about Kansas City kids who might not have a coat to stay warm with this winter.
Who's out next? With Coats for Kids?
Ooh, let me look that up.
I'm looking on our website, but it's not. I'm having a hard time finding it.
Yeah. Would be something we should have.
We do this every year, and it probably would make more sense to a lot of people if we did it later in the season a little bit, but we do it this early, although now it's cold and people will be thinking about it. But the goal is to collect all the coats, and then we have them cleaned and then distributed to kids before they go on winter break, and that takes a bit of time. So there's a schedule up online, and we're all going out. You were out on Halloween.
Yep.
Ellen, I believe, was out in Lee's Summit yesterday. Everybody's kind of taking their time out.
Up next, Scott Parks, if you want to drop off a coat. By the way, you can take a coat to any Pride Cleaners anywhere in the area. Drop off a new or gently used coat. Imagine having to stand outside as this snow, let's say it was really snow. If it was really snowing and you didn't have a coat, drop it off at any Pride Cleaners now through December 7th. But Scott Parks will be out next week on Wednesday at the Aero Fabricare at 39th and Troost in the morning from 7 to 9 if you want to drop it off there. But you don't have to wait until then. You can drop it off, like I said, any Pride Cleaners. It is our 15th year that we have done this. And we will be broadcasting live at Bassett Furniture at 135th and Metcalf coming up at the end of the year. So Scott's out next on Wednesday, but if you're out picking up your dry cleaning, drop off a coat, please help out. We need as many coats as we can.
So we're asking, for those of you that have kids, what is the policy at your kids' school, if they have one, about at what point they will not send kids outside for recess because of weather? And if you don't have kids, then what do you think of this question that we got from a listener?
Yeah, this is from one of our listeners. His name is Richard. And the guidelines have been sent home via a piece of paper from Cordy Elementary. Guidelines for cold weather during recess and lunch and class recess. The district has established the following guidelines during the cold months. 6 degrees Fahrenheit and above may have full outside recess. 5 degrees Fahrenheit down to 14 below may have a shortened recess. 15 degrees below and colder must have indoor recess. And these guidelines are based on wind chill. Please prepare your kids, winter weather, yada, yada, yada. If you have a need for winter wear, please call. They give a phone number to call at the school. For students to say inside during recess, a doctor's note would be required. What are the rules at your kid's school? 576-7798. Aaron, you're on KMBZ. What's up, Aaron?
So if you get online, you can look up wind chill calculator, and I put in just 32 degrees, which is freezing, and 10 degree wind speed, which isn't very high. And that gets you down to 23 degrees wind chill. And all the numbers you're using are with wind chill factored in, so it will feel colder, but if the wind's not a blowing, it ain't that cold. And so to me, yeah, once it gets below into the negative territory, they're not going to go outside. Shortened, to me, means the teachers aren't going to want to be out there, so therefore students aren't going to be out there. So I don't think they're going to force kids to go outside if it's cold, especially if they don't have coats. So to me, it's kind of a non-issue. I'm not saying teachers always use the best judgment, but they're not going to go outside if it's cold, and if they're not outside, the kids aren't outside.
Is that always the case? I mean, don't you send the kids outside, Jamie? If you aren't you happy to have your 15 minutes of zen without the kids in the room? Isn't that what recess is?
15 minutes is not that long. Recess is designed for kids to get out energy in the middle of the day. It's not designed to give teachers a break. It's designed for kids to spend 15 minutes or whatever it is outside to let out some of that pent-up energy so that they can focus a little better when they get back inside. And those are, I mean, that decision's not made by teachers. Those decisions about recesses are being made by principals or even higher above that. And that's usually supervised by somebody that's not necessarily a teacher.
Aaron, thanks, man. Let's go to Angie on KMBZ. What's up, Angie?
Hi, how are you?
Doing all right.
Hey, I think that, you know, Cordy sent this out just as a reminder for their students. You know, it's a district policy, and I think that they probably weren't just trying to say, hey, everyone, it's freezing outside, let's go outside and play. I think it's just a kind reminder to tell these students that some of them don't have coats, and some of their parents send them in shorts, and, you know, it's just, hey, we're going to get our energy out like they were talking about. And just a, you know, a kind reminder. I don't think it was meant to say, hey, we're throwing your kids out, you know, with the wolves and the wind chill. You know what I mean?
The way it reads to me, though, is a warning. I mean, it doesn't say this, and maybe it should have been more explicit about this. To me, it's a warning of make sure you send your kids, you know, with coats and gloves and everything, because not being dressed well enough is not something we're going to take as an excuse to keep them in.
That could be true, but it's a district policy. It's not just Cordy. So I think that maybe the principal was just trying to, you know, give a gentle reminder. Maybe it didn't come off, you know, exactly how it should have. But definitely, you know, our kids need reminders to put their coats and gloves on, and some parents need reminders for that, too. So, you know.
Okay. Angie, thank you for your phone call. 576-7798. Let's go to Jamie on KMBZ. What's up, Jamie?
Hi, I was calling because my son actually goes to that school.
Your kid goes to Cordy. Okay, did you get this same thing in the mail or sent home?
They send one every year, and that's actually not the rule they follow. So, like, today, my son went to school with a coat and a hat, and he's like, well, Mom, we get to choose to stay in if we want to. So they ask the kids every day, like, when it's cold, if you want to go out, you can go out with this teacher. If you want to stay in, you can stay in and play a game or something else. So they aren't forced outside.
Then like why cold, does this say this?
Yeah, why? Because
this
why,
reads different why than this, what you just said.
Why the letter come home with Richard's daughter from the same school that your kid goes to?
And again, it doesn't say, like I said when we first started this, it just says may send them outside. It doesn't say will send them outside. But it doesn't act like they're going to necessarily have a choice.
If it's a district policy, they might have had to send it out, but the principal at that school and the staff is, they're absolutely amazing, and they don't make them go out when it's cold. So they do get a choice. So they might have a choice to go out. So if they have a choice to go out, then they should have a coat and stuff if your child chooses to go outside. But if it's cold and your child chooses to stay inside, I mean, they should still have a coat and gloves and things like that. But they don't force them out.
Okay. Thank you for the phone call. We appreciate it, Jamie.
It said you need a doctor's note.
Right. Then don't send the letter home. I mean,
well,
look,
just don't mention the doctor's note then. I mean, be more clear then about, we'll give them the choice. Say something else.
Yeah.
don't say that.
I don't understand. Because what you have done now, and Richard says that he has posted this in an Independence Facebook group. And again, I have zero dog in the fight. Jamie has zero dog in the fight. We were bringing an issue out from one of our listeners, and we appreciate Richard sending that. I mean, it obviously raises concern with some people in Independence that would have a problem with this. To me, you know, going back to what Aaron was saying about the wind chill calculator, I mean, if there's 2 feet of snow on the ground, but it's been there for a while, the kids can play in the snow. I got no problem with kids playing in the snow. I got no problem with kids playing in the cold.
No, but the problem with some parents is that, I err on the side of, especially with the littler kids, get them outside if you can. Get them outside and let them run because they just spent 3 or 4 hours sitting and they're squirmy and they need to get the energy out, you know, and it's good for them to run around. And if it's cold, they're going to run more and they're not just going to stand and not do anything. So I'm all for, to the extent that you can, you know, let them go outside. I'm going to guess, though, there are a lot of parents that don't want their kids outside if it's too nippy out, you know, that err on the side of, well, my little Timmy can't handle, you know, being outside if it's too cold. No, he probably can. You know, for 10 or 15 minutes, he can probably handle being outside. This was probably more of a warning to parents of, you know, make sure they dress, dress well, because we're not going to keep them inside just because you think it's too cold. You know, here's the guideline we're going to use just to be safe.
I think that's what I would agree with that and with what Angie was saying. Like, it's some kids, hey, reminder, don't send your kid to school in January in a long sleeve t-shirt and jeans. Like, get the coat on the kid. And again, if your kids don't have access to a coat, that's where we come in with coats for kids. Any Pride cleaners, drop one off. We would appreciate that, and so would the kids. Bob, you're on KMBZ.
Yeah, how you guys doing?
Doing great, Bob. Thanks for calling, man.
Yeah, I just thought, you know, if it's too cold, you could err on the side of caution and keep the kids in and do some, like, creative indoor games with a teacher, like tying her up and, you know, like wrestle around and, like, you know, like maybe paint her face or something like that, you know.
I don't doubt it. I just wonder if there's ever a threshold. And Bob, thanks. Like, the letter itself says 6 degrees. And I mean, I don't want to be outside for 15 minutes if the temperature or wind chill is 6 degrees.
No,
much less
people don't.
Little Timmy doesn't want to be out there either.
But again, the wind chill might be that for 30 seconds.
Right.
And then the wind dies down, and then it's back to feeling a little warmer again, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just make sure your kids are ready.
Bob, thanks, man. Frida, final word on this on KMBZ. What's up, Frida? Frida!
No, not so much.
All right, Frida, we'll try you next time. It's on our Facebook page. You can read the letter. Thanks, Richard, for sending it in. Hopefully, if you're listening, you got all your questions answered and your concerns were out there. The conversation continues there over on our Facebook page.
But for sure, if you haven't done this already, check with your school to see what their policy is so that you make sure your kids are dressed well enough for recess. I think a lot of parents just feel it's cold outside in the morning and assume, you know, well, I'll just let my kid sit with me in my heated car while we wait for the bus. And, you know, I don't have to send them with the gloves and the scarf and everything. If they were to know then that they might have to go outside, then they would send them with warmer clothes.
I really am glad I never had to grow up doing that in the Midwest until I went to high school. if you grew up, like if you start, I lived in the West Coast for a long time, and my freshman year of high school was boom, welcome to winter. That hits you like a ton of bricks. It really does. Again, the conversation is over on our Facebook page, facebook.com/981KMBZ. You're giving your computer the old number one salute.
It's not working the way that I need it to.
Coming up, the Toy Hall of Fame the Toy Hall of Fame inductees have been announced. I went back and looked at our predictions, Jamie.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see how well we did from September.
Okay.
I went back and found them. We'll get to that and a lot more coming up next. It's midday with Jamie and Wicket, Jamie Monticelli, Mike Wicket. So one of our favorite things every year, and it always happens in September, is when the Toy Hall of Fame nominations come out. We both get down on that because it's...
Yeah, it's just kind of fun.
You get to revisit your youth a little bit. And this year, we had the nominees that were already out, and we made our predictions. And if you want to see the story, it is up on our Facebook page, facebook.com/981KMBZ. Because today, the inductees were announced. My computer is is your computer freezing right now too?
I always have problems with mine at this time of day because it's been working since 4 a.m. and it's like, no.
It needs a break.
This is done.
Here we go. Okay. So we have the winners that were announced today. And I could go over the whole list of all 12, but I just want to get to the winners. Our predictions, by the way, I happen to have them here, Jamie. Here's what you and I predicted were going to be into the Toy Hall of Fame.
Probably a game will go in. Probably Clue or Uno based on past years.
So I've got Uno, Matchbox Cars, and Clue.
I have Matchbox Cars, Transformers, and My Little Pony.
Okay. All right. There was our prediction.
I didn't get any of these. I'm looking. You know why? Because I was looking to see the Jacob's Ladder that I brought back. I was looking to see if this ever made it at any point. Because this seems like something that could be in there, but it's totally not.
How'd that go?
I don't see it anywhere. Yeah, so not well, obviously.
The 12th. Yeah. Let's see. I'll play that again real quick. Did we get any right?
Were yours right? Were yours? Okay. You said yours at the beginning.
Here we go again.
Probably a game will go in. Probably Clue or Uno based on past years.
So I've got Uno, Matchbox Cars, and Clue.
I have Matchbox Cars, Transformers, and My Little Pony.
Okay. What went in?
We stunk. We're bad at this.
We just don't know toys.
You got one.
Yay!
So can you read us the nominees first?
Yeah,
can you read us the full list? That way people know what our options were.
Give me a moment here because...
So here's what I'm talking about. Here are the things that have made it in past years. Okay, here's why I said that. And this goes back, and if you want to see this is toyhalloffame.org. So they've been doing this every year since 1998. So the first year that they did this, man, they used to put in a lot more. Now they just put in two or three a year. But the first year in 1998, they inducted some biggies. Barbie, Etch-A-Sketch, the Frisbee, Lego, Marbles, Monopoly, Play-Doh, and the Tinker Toy. Other years, they've done things like roller skates and Lincoln Log. And in 2000, it was the bicycle and Mr. Potato Head and the Slinky. In 2001, it was Silly Putty and Tonka Trucks. Raggedy Ann made it 1 year. G.I. Joe got in 1 year. So did Scrabble. Candyland. That's what I was referring to when I said they usually induct a game. Candyland did 1 year. The Easy Bake Oven was in 2006. Atari made it 1 year. Then they do things like the Pet Rock and the Stick and the Ball and things that are a little more generic.
Let's see. 2018 National Hall of Fame. Let's see. Last year.
Do you have the nominees for this year?
I cannot figure this. This is not listed properly and easy for me.
Okay.
Give me a moment.
All right. So here were others. So last year's were inducted in 2017 were Clue, the Paper Airplane, and the Wiffle Ball. The year before that, it was Fisher-Price, Little People, Dungeons & Dragons, and The Swing. So it seems like every year they pick a game, something kind of generic like the Stick or the Pet Rock, and then something a little more active. And what it's with any other kind of Hall of Fame where sometimes you'll see stuff come up several years in a row before it finally gets in.
This year it was Uno, Chutes and Ladders, Electric Football, American Girls, the Corn Popper, like the lawnmower thing, kids, the Magic 8-Ball, Tic-Tac-Toe, Sleds, Pinball, Tickle Me Elmo, and Masters of the Universe.
Okay.
He-Man.
Here is what got in out of all of that.
Yeah.
So you and I both, correct me if I'm wrong, we both said Matchbox Cars.
Yep. I said Matchbox. Let me play it again.
I have
to go back. I've listened to this 6 times in a row.
Based on past years.
So I've got Uno, Matchbox Cars, and Clue.
I have Matchbox Cars, Transformers, and My Little Pony.
Okay.
Matchbox Cars, Transformers, My Little Pony.
So we both said, so Matchbox Cars did not get in.
No, it did not.
My Little Pony did not get in.
No.
Transformers that I said did not get in.
No.
What was the other thing you said?
I said Uno.
And then what else? Matchbox Cars.
I apparently picked Clue, which is already in.
Made it last year.
So I picked one this year that was already in.
Well, they shouldn't have put it on the list this year if it was. they shouldn't have included that in the nominees. Here's what got in. The Magic 8-Ball got in this year.
I hate that thing.
Pinball got in. Right. And Uno got in. My Little Pony really should have made it. But really, Matchbox Cars should have gotten in.
I agree with
because
that.
Because that's, you know, they pick things that that multiple generations have played with, you know. And so I think Matchbox Cars are still cool.
Still out there. Still
so
out there.
You can go, if you go to toyhalloffame.org, then you can click on the toy and it'll give you the whole history of the toy and how long it's been around and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I got Uno right because you can still play those games today.
Sure.
But the Magic 8-Ball is dumb.
It just, in the grand scheme of other things that are on this list, Magic 8-Ball was the last thing I would have expected.
I totally agree with you.
It's not in the same category as Bubbles or Rubik's Cube or the Rubber Duck or other things that are on this list.
Yeah.
Blanket made it 1 year.
The Blanket?
Yeah. Hot Wheels got in 1 year.
So Hot Wheels is in and Matchbox is not?
Which is maybe why they said no. I don't know.
I guess. Whatever.
This is really, and I believe this is in, I have Rochester, New York in my head. Am I right? About where the Toy Hall of Fame is?
Yeah, it's in New York. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it'd be really cool to go and check out at some point. So
read about it up on our Facebook page. Let us know if your favorite ones made it. The newest members of the Toy Hall of Fame, Pinball, Uno, and the stupid Magic 8-Ball, which I just do not like it anyway. All right, it's 12:57. It's midday with Jamie and Wicket. We are going to have a little question.
There's just a bunch of stuff we didn't get to in the last couple of days. We still need to talk about the crocodile. We'll still need to talk about the trash compactor. And yes, I have a little what would you do from my trip.
From your trip to Mexico?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We'll hit you with that.
Well, I already know what Travis is going to say. So we'll ask the rest of you.
Travis is soulless.
Keep it all.
Travis, keep it all.
What you even got or what's happening. Just keep it all.
Keep everything.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.